Have you ever sent or received a nude picture? As any female celebrity could probably tell you, sending or even taking nudes on a digital device is a risky business. Some say the only way to 100% be sure that they won't be shared in a way that you don't like is to not send them at all. But is this just another type of victim blaming, that they were somehow asking for it? So, how dangerous is it to send nudes? Well, we're going to talk to an online security researcher about ways to safer sext. Also, what to do if you're being threatened with your nude pics online.
The Hookup with Hannah Riley. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Warning, sex and adult themes.
We are talking about sending nudes, and I'm joined by the lovely comedian Demi Lardner.
Hey.
So what's your experience with nude pics?
With nude pics, I've gotten them a lot more than I've ever sent them.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. I whittled myself a trophy. My experience, actually, I was just thinking about this then, is that, like, if you're on, you know, a dating website or app or something, that, like, and if you've got both of the genders turned on, that boys never ask. They just send them. And girls will be like, hey, do you want to have a squiz? Or no?
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, because they haven't been told to be ashamed. That's why. I think that's probably most of it. It's impolite.
Now, you think that you can't send nudes Mm-mm. anymore. Why is this?
I'm covered in stupid tattoos.
What kinds?
I have a Kanye album on my wrist.
No, you don't.
I do.
Which album?
Yeezus, which is funny as well because it's just a CD. Just a picture.
Really, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's like an emoji CD that you can find on any iPhone,
yeah.
Really.
So if he gets real, you know, if he does something crook, I'll just be like, no, I just love music.
Yeah, it's like all the people who maybe got Bill Cosby tattoos at one point. They're like, oh, boy. We did not plan that routine.
I've got Tim, I've got Freddie Mercury, I've got like a Malayan tapir, I've got Silly Dancing Cat.
And I guess that's probably why you cannot send nudes anymore, because, like, off the top of my head, I don't know anyone else with that particular combination of tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's real specific. It's a burden, I guess.
We've been getting texts. Maddie says, was flicking through my photos to find a photo of my dog to show to a friend from uni. There was an awkward boob shot that we both saw and awkwardly laughed because we're both nurses and have seen a million before. And Shane from Newcastle says, my friend accidentally sent me a Snapchat video of himself wanking. Felt sorry for him, then felt even worse for seeing that it was bigger than mine. A good story to tell at his 21st in front of his family.
Oh, wow. Oh. I can't even imagine. I don't know anything about Snapchat. I'm not in the danger zone.
You're a young person.
I know, but it just is hard. These people are doing all these fancy things, being funny on Snapchat, and I'm
it's
like,
too much.
How do you take a photo? I don't understand.
So, what do you think makes a tasteful nude composition?
There are so many things. You have to get real graphic. I know some things that don't. I like to
Let's start there.
Yeah. So, choose your filters wisely.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't, why would you use a sepia tone, you know? Like, don't make me think your dick's from the past. I don't need that.
Now, Mark, thanks for calling. You want to tell us why everyone needs to understand how the cloud works.
Yeah. My mom and dad had recently separated when I shared a cloud account with my dad, and he noticed that his secretary appeared on the photo stream.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And now they're married, and he doesn't know. And I have a Samsung now. Straight to me.
Straight to your pocket.
Yeah.
That is nightmare fuel.
The Hookup is here to help. Get in touch with The Hookup via Facebook and The Hookup page on the Triple J website.
Yeah, we got to know this stuff.
If you've ever sent a bit of a tasteful nude, you've probably worried about what would happen if someone tried to use it against you. Revenge porn, it isn't a new idea, but as technology makes it so much easier to share images, it also makes violating your privacy much easier as well. One in 10 Australians have had a nude or semi-nude image of them shared without their consent. That is huge. So what can we do about it? We are joined by Dr. Nicola Henry. She's a senior lecturer in crime, justice and legal studies at La Trobe Uni, and she's conducting the first Australian survey on revenge porn. Dr. Nicola, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Hannah.
Dr. Nicola, we were practically, you know, raised by the internet, our generation anyway, but sending nudes is not new. People were doing this with, you know, disposable cameras and oil paintings before, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think revenge pornography is it's not a new behaviour as such. But what we are seeing is that, you know, the technologies are enabling new types of effects on victims, and just the ease in which people can take photos and upload them and distribute them is a new phenomenon.
So for someone who might be a little bit unfamiliar, could you just define what revenge porn is for us?
Well, revenge pornography is a very problematic term, but it basically refers to the non-consensual distribution of intimate or sexually explicit or nude images, so without another person's consent. And the reason why it's problematic is that not all perpetrators distribute images out of revenge motivations.
Absolutely. What would be the terminology that you would use?
Well, we prefer the term image-based sexual exploitation, but unfortunately it doesn't have the same kind of catchiness that revenge pornography has. So we do continue to use that term.
Yeah, right. That's so interesting. And that is so often the case. How many people every year are affected by revenge porn?
Well, my colleague, Dr. Anastasia Powell from RMIT University, and I conducted a broader study looking at technology and harassment and sexual violence. And what we found in that particular study was that 1 in 10 Australians had a nude or semi-nude image of them distributed without their consent. That finding is roughly similar to findings from a very small handful of international surveys that have been done more broadly on technology and relationships.
1 in 10 is like, that's just astronomical.
It is. With that study, because it was a broader study, we are now doing a specific study looking at the non-consensual distribution of intimate images. So we're going to find out more about who's sending on these images, where are these images being sent, and what the impacts are on victims. So we're still kind of at the beginnings of our understanding about the prevalence and about the nature and about the impacts of revenge pornography.
There was an incident in Adelaide last year that was big in the news. Can you talk us through what happened?
Yeah, so this was in about June 2015. There were about 400 nude images of South Australian girls and women had been hacked or stolen by ex-lovers or others from their private Facebook pages and then distributed onto a US-based website.
Do you think things like that, when they happen and they are so widespread across the news, that it's kind of not normalising the idea of revenge porn, but do you think that potentially fuels it?
I think that the 2014 celebrity nude scandal, as it was called, problematically called, the problem is that a lot of people think that because they're celebrities that their bodies are
public
for everyone.
Property.
Yeah. Public property, and there are certainly a lot of victim blaming mentality around the celebrities who took images of themselves. I mean, they were stored on Apple iCloud, for instance, and I think that translates also for ordinary people who are not celebrities.
Yeah, I remember Ricky Gervais tweeted, "Hey, celebrities, if you don't want people to hack your naked photos, stop having them on your computer or stop taking them," or something like that.
Which is interesting because whenever my house gets broken into, I was like, well, what was I thinking having a bloody house?
Hopefully the tides are turning and people are recognising that for what it is, which is, you know, usually victim blaming. Now, what do revenge porn laws look like around Australia?
Well, at the moment in Australia, we have quite a poor coverage as far as specific legislation is concerned. So in Victoria, we have, since 2014, a new criminal offence relating to the malicious distribution of images without consent, with intimate images without consent, and also the threatening to distribute intimate images as well. The distribution attracts up to 2 years imprisonment, and the threat... Whoa. Threatening to distribute attracts up to 1 year imprisonment. And we do have laws in South Australia as well that are slightly broader relating to the distribution of an invasive image. But in no other state or territory or at the federal level do we have any other legislation in place, but there are kind of broader laws that can apply. So at the federal level, for instance, we do have the telecommunications legislation, but unfortunately that's not really been used in relation to revenge pornography type behaviours.
So what still needs to be done?
Well, the criminal law is one avenue, and I think the importance of having specific laws in place is that it communicates that these behaviours are wrong, that you can't just distribute an intimate image of another person without their consent, that it does have real impacts relating to embarrassment and humiliation, and it can have huge impacts in relation to people's psychological welfare, but also their, you know, their job security and their relationships with others. So we really need to kind of think beyond the criminal law, because the criminal law is a reactive way of dealing with this issue. So we need to think about the civil law as well, so having civil remedies in place for people who want to sue the perpetrators in court. But we need to think beyond law, because there are a range of other things that we should be thinking about in terms of, like, how do we prevent this from happening in the first place?
Yeah, it's interesting. Do you think people know that this sort of thing could be a criminal offence and in some states carry those kind of sentences?
No. I mean, I don't have any evidence to go by that on. I just the general anecdotal sentiment is that people don't know that this is a criminal offence. They feel, I mean, that if they've got the image, then they can show it to somebody else, or they can share it, or they can distribute it. And a lot of the times people might not even know that the image is non-consensual.
Do you think as more people send nude pictures, do you think over time the level of scandal that if they are shared will potentially lessen? Like, won't we all just have nudes floating around in the ether and it won't necessarily be that big a deal anymore?
Yeah, I've wondered the same thing actually. But I've got pictures of myself pregnant, you know, with not many clothes on, and I've kind of imagined, you know, what would happen if someone—I shouldn't be saying this on radio—but if someone hacked into my iCloud, and you know, you do kind of think about these things, and you think about you know, people at different life stages as well, and it depends on the image as well. I mean, this is not a pornographic image that I'm talking about here,
but it's an intimate image. It's something that was private.
Do you think that, like, when Rose got off of the Titanic and people found those pictures, she was like, oh no, I didn't know this was, oh, they're all over it. And now there's a movie and Leo knows about it.
Spiraled so out of control.
Yeah.
Dr. Nicola, I would love to know, where can people go if they're being threatened or are victims of revenge porn?
There are a number of avenues. So obviously one is to report it to the police. Hopefully the police will, you know, take it seriously. There's still a lot of training that needs to be had around properly responding to this, and I'm sure many victims are put off by, you know, the thought of police officers, for instance, being able to see those pictures, and that's a challenge. But there are a number of really good support lines in Australia. So 1800 RESPECT, for instance. There are obviously sexual assault and domestic violence lines, and domestic violence is the other issue I haven't mentioned, but there are people who are distributing or threatening to distribute images as a form of domestic violence or as part of that pattern of behaviour. So there are a number of really good helplines, and the 1800 RESPECT number is the one that I would probably suggest to start with, and then they can then kind of work out where to go from there.
Dr. Nicola, thank you so much for joining us. That was Dr. Nicola from La Trobe University, who's conducting Australia's first national survey on revenge porn.
The hookup on Triple J.
We want to know, what can you do to better safeguard your digital or naked footprint? earlier, actually, we spoke to online security researcher Troy Hunt. Troy tells companies how to build more secure software and runs the website Have I Been Pwned. It's a free service that helps people establish if they've been compromised online. I asked him earlier if there's ever really a safe way to sext.
Well, I think one of the main things is to just be aware of what are all the places my photo goes. First of all, when I take it. So, for example, if you've got an iPhone and you take a photo, you will probably find that it's being backed up to iCloud. So one of the first things you might want to be aware of is if I take this photo and then want to share it, that then maybe a wise thing to do is to delete it after sharing it. Because if you don't delete it, it sits there on your iPhone and it backs up to the cloud. And we've seen many incidents of people getting their iCloud hacked, and we've seen nude photos leaked. This was the whole Fappening incident a while back, where celebrities had their nude photos leaked. So you might want to think about deleting it afterwards, and not just deleting it from your pictures, which then sits in effectively your trash can for the next month, but maybe deleting it out of there as well. And for the recipient of the message, having a chat to them as well about, look, what are we going to do to possibly permanently remove it from your device after you receive it? Because the risk that we're running here is that once it sits on a device, there are so many different ways that it can be exposed. And the shorter the duration that it sits on that device, the less risk that you run.
Are there any apps or anything out there to be able to help reduce the risk?
Yeah, look, there are apps that will help you expire photos. I mean, Snapchat has been sort of the canonical resource for sexting and taking that sort of photo in the past. But I think the important thing to remember as well is where the weaknesses within these might lie. So, for example, if someone works purely on the assumption that an app with an expiry feature will not leak the photo or will not be visible to anyone else, that the risk you have there is that someone can always screen capture it. Someone can always use another phone to take a photo of it whilst it's on that phone. So the premise that a particular app is going to ensure that your photo cannot be reproduced or reshared in any other way is a little bit of a fallacy.
Let's talk damage control a little bit. Say your online nudes have been compromised. Is there anything that we can do to reduce the damage?
If the distribution is really small and you're able to get to the individuals that have it and they do actually, in good faith, permanently remove it, then that's fantastic.
Say if we don't even want to be sending these pictures, we just want to be storing them on our own devices, is there any way to safeguard them there?
Well, you know, the best possible advice I can give, if for whatever reason you want to take the photos, is to do it on a device that's not connected to the internet. So, for example, you can get Polaroid cameras, and in fact, there's two classes of Polaroid camera these days. So there's the old classics that were printed out, and guess what? That doesn't back up to iCloud, right? So you can still buy these. In fact, I was looking at it the other day because I wrote a piece on digitizing sexual exploits, and I said, look, you can always go and get a Polaroid camera. You can always go and get a video camera that records to tape, and you can create these memories in a way where, yes, it's possible that they can be redistributed, which, I mean, geez, we think back to the Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee days. Right?
Yeah.
That was the videotape. This has happened for a long time. However, it is much harder for that to happen. Someone literally got to steal it out of your home as opposed to some unknown person on the other side of the world logging into your iCloud. So certainly producing them in a physical format is one thing. The other is having a digital camera that will only record to a local memory stick. And if it sits on that local memory stick, and let's say, for example, it's you and your partner and you want to keep these memories, put it in a safe or something on a digital camera, and you're going to be a whole lot safer, and it's not an absolute, but it's a lot safer than if it is on your phone and it backs up to iCloud, and you might leave it in the shops one day, and, you know, whatever. There's so many different ways it could get disclosed then.
That's so interesting. I'd never even considered that. It is so much safer to do it in an analog way, because I think for some reason we have this false sense of security that our digital photos that are in our own personal devices are safe rather than having it in a physical form.
I think a lot of it is that our smartphones these days are such an intimate device. We have it on us wherever we go. Many of us are there using it in the bathroom. You know, it is always there. It's a permanent fixture in our lives. And we don't think of it as potentially being an attack vector, if you like, into our personal lives. But this is the problem. It's normally not until something goes wrong that the penny drops that wow, like everything I do with this thing actually ends up on the internet. And this is enormously convenient and wonderfully powerful in so many ways, but it can also be very invasive.
It seems like it would be incredibly easy if someone did want to access your personal photos or information.
There are many things happening which improve our privacy dramatically. So, for example, we've just seen in the news how much trouble the FBI had getting into someone's iPhone. And this is great. Not that it's great that they had trouble accessing a terrorist information, but for us as individual consumers, if our phone is locked and we lose it, and it's a modern-day iPhone or a modern-day Android with good encryption, it means that it's going to be extremely hard for someone to get into it. But we need to take other preventative measures as well. So, for example, make sure you have a PIN on your phone. Make sure it's not 1234. So make it something.
I just got to go quickly change something on my phone.
As soon as we finish this, change that. But make sure it's something strong, because modern day phones should be in the position now where you can leave it somewhere, someone else can pick it up. Mm. And even if you're the FBI, you can't do anything with it short of spending $1.5 million, which they're probably not going to do to get you sex pics.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. If you've got a burning or itching question, get in touch. Send us a direct message by searching The Hookup on Facebook or email thehookup@abc.net.au.
The Hookup on Triple J.